The best in Bitcoin made audible. You're listening to Bitcoin Audible with Guy Swan. All right, so we have got a really fascinating piece today, and I found this on, this is both in the Words Bitcoin Journal that I've stumbled upon. I think we've read something from them in the past, but this is on specifically cryptosovereignty.org, and it's titled The Political Theology of Bitcoin. Now, some of the language is a little bit odd, and I'll be the first to admit that I did not follow every single piece of this argument, but there are some little pieces of some of this is just amazing, and that's the part that I did understand. So I want to talk about this piece and like what I pulled out of it afterward. A quick thank you to Swan Bitcoin for supporting this podcast. You know who they are. They are the best, lowest cost way to auto buy, auto stack, and auto withdraw Bitcoin to your keys so that you can start your Bitcoin savings plan and never think about it ever again. They make Bitcoin Audible possible. So check them out at swanbitcoin.com/guy. Okay, without further ado, though, I want to get into this piece, and this is actually written by Eric Kaysen, again on cryptosovereignty.org, and it's titled The Political Theology of Bitcoin. Sovereign is he who decides on the exception. Carl Schmitt. This is the famous opening statement of Political Theology, four chapters on the concept of sovereignty, published by Carl Schmitt in 1922. This statement offers the fundamental axiom of how all sovereign power functions, and how the sovereign exception, found in emergency legal decrees, allows for any sovereign to overcome and dispose of the law. In the essay, The Political Theology of Crypto, I explain how cryptography negates the possibility of the sovereign exception through the banishment of physical and identifying power, which thereby erodes all forms of contemporary state and legal power. I have also written an essay on how the metaphysical tensions between any sovereign and any subject will always result in a power dynamic that where the sovereign decision will always overcome any law in times of sincere crisis or emergency, and how cryptography negates this form of power. In this essay, I would like to expound more deeply upon the explicit theology of Bitcoin, its formula of power, and what it means for the fate of humanity in these darkest of times. Bitcoin as subjectivity. While Bitcoin is inherently an object of war, it is also an object of art. Art because it is only an expression, an object of non-tangibility and subjective individual human values according to the society we live within. However, through a Hegelian synthesis of art and war, Bitcoin spills out from the noosphere as a damnation of all fiat currencies of the world of flesh and steel, and the redemptive answer we seek to rescue and restore law, economy, and order from these crises forced upon them. Through the power of cryptography and the systems of truth that it demands, Bitcoin expresses a form of truth that no human, institution, or organization is any longer capable of anywhere in the physical realm or legal jurisdictions. This artistic power of war that Bitcoin harnesses comes from a totalizing deterritorialization and re-territorialization, in the Deleuzian sense of the word, of the global order through the initiation of a new plane of immanence based upon cryptographic power. This plane of immanence is the renewal of a nomos, law, customs, or social cohesion of humanity, with the internet at its organizational core, and truth as the form of legitimacy. It is a novus ordo seclorum, or new order of the ages, where truth, not authority, becomes the renewed source of legitimacy for all people everywhere. Through the exchange of the legitimacy of power to the sacrifice of authoritarian decrees for the truth of what is, Bitcoin inverts the sovereign formula of power. Both Schmidt and Agamben, two of the leading scholars on the philosophy of sovereignty, define sovereignty as a borderline concept that is traced throughout the theory of the state. Both conclude that sovereignty finds its foundation in the authentic decision that is the sovereign exception of the law, also known as a state of emergency or sovereign crisis, not the norm. Schmidt surmises this as, quote, "All law is situational law. The sovereign produces and guarantees the situation in its totality. He has the monopoly over this last decision." This is of great importance because it is through the sovereign exception found in emergency decrees all state law is doomed to the fascism inherent to it. There is no bearing or trace of truth in the sovereign exception, only the raw authoritative power that will justify any legal exceptions. The great father of the theory of the state himself, Thomas Hobbes, surmised this in Leviathan rather flippantly as, quote, "Auctoritas non veritas facit legem." Authority, not truth, makes legitimacy. Schmidt, whom is among the most esteemed of legal scholars on Hobbes and his theory of the state, further surmises this point of how authority functions within the sovereign exception. Quote, "The exception, which is not codified in the existing legal order, can at best be described as a case of extreme peril, a danger to the existence of the state. It is truly a matter of extreme emergency and how the emergency can be eliminated. From the liberal constitutional point of view, there would be no judicial competence at all. The most guidance the Constitution can provide is to indicate who can act in such a case. He, the sovereign, decides if there is an extreme emergency as well as what must be done to eliminate it. Although he stands outside of the normally legal valid system, he nevertheless belongs to it, for it is he who must decide whether the Constitution needs to be suspended in its entirety. Whether one has confidence and hope it can be eliminated depends on philosophical, especially on philosophical historical, or metaphysical convictions." Carl Schmidt, Political Theology, page 7. Bitcoin as philosophical conviction. Bitcoin is the philosophical cognition of a world that has lost its nomos, where truth is no longer concrete facts, but fickle and transient opinion of those in power. Only in a world where seditious guile rules opening, where money is but a tool for the politically powerful, and truth a facet of manipulation, does Bitcoin present its radical antithesis to the current paradigm of law, order, and sovereignty. It is the fulfillment of a crypto-anarchist critique of state, money, and legal power in the world of today. Bitcoin is this philosophical conviction, particularly the philosophical historical cognition of what cryptography is, how it was developed for total war, and what its development throughout the concourse of human history means. It is here that we find our point of attack and a categorical imperative from which any sovereign exception can be totally and completely eliminated. Through the linguistic form that is cryptography, a demand is created that can only be answered in binary form of yes, yes, or no, no, and nothing else. It is a formula of true-false statements of output ownership, protected by the magnanimity of cryptography, which creates the time chain of Bitcoin and the fulfillment of Bitcoin's oath to the cryptography that concretes it. The sovereign legal form glitches out before naked truth and the total silent obligation that is the secret of all state power, arcana imperii. Quote, "The obligation of subjects to the sovereign is understood to last as long and no longer then the power lasteth by which he is able to protect them. For the right men have by nature to protect themselves, and when none else can protect them, can by no covenant be relinquished. End quote. Thomas Hobbes, Leviathan. In a world that has lost its nomos, is a world where no sovereign power, institution, or government can offer even the most basic protections or assurances that comprises of the dignity of life. Bitcoin offers a radical new hope from which man may rescue himself from the cage that is every nation state today. The law itself is supposed to be the fulfillment of the most basic promise of the social contract by sovereign power, and yet we have entered into a world where no such promise exists. Any law today is little more than authoritarian approvals, appeals, rules, and decrees, lacking even the most basic contractual functions. Through the broken oaths of sovereign powers everywhere towards the most basic aspects of the social contract, all people everywhere have been forsaken, the truth of their laws and their justice corrupted in every way, broken from being capable of being saved. In this darkest of nights, however, there is a spectacular gem of truth from which light gleams and points towards our exit from this hallowed and damned place. Bitcoin and the cryptographic breakthroughs that it has ushered in over the last decade offers us a totally new and novel strategy of human organization that breaks out of the sovereign form and can restore law, order, and economy to their rightful, judicious places. As Foucault warned us, quote, "In political and social theory, we still have not cut off the king's head." Bitcoin and cryptography is a form of power that is beyond any physical force and the brutishness of any form of authoritarianism for the very real truth it must contain in order to function, and the very real protection that the cryptography it contains offers. Bitcoin is the premonition of an idea whose time has come, of a humanity that is ready to rise to its task of the abrogation of the state and to restore the political to its rightful place at the forefront of any law. Bitcoin is a new form of political, economic, and ethical organization that raises truth to being the only sacrosanct of any law. It is the philosophical cognition of a world that understands the insipid greed of men and the infinite vice that is his hunger for power. Bitcoin has enabled a new form of digital organization that banishes the prattling lies of men and demands the verification of any claim he states. Bitcoin does this through returning truth to its preeminent place as the foundation of all social contracts, and the meaning of truth in such agreements through the cryptographic formula of verification. In short, it is truth, not authority, that makes legitimacy with Bitcoin. Bitcoin as political theology. At the very end of political theology, Schmitt, of all people, provides us with an anarchist critique of any sovereign decision by the very virtue of what any decision by a sovereign power must be and how it is decided. Quote, "Every claim of decision must be evil for the anarchist, because the right emerges by itself if the imminence of life is not disturbed by such claims. This radical antithesis forces him, of course, to decide against the decision, and this results in the odd paradox where Bakunin, the greatest anarchist of the 19th century, had to become in theory the theologian of the anti-theological, and in practice, the dictator of an anti-dictatorship." Carl Schmitt, the final paragraph of Political Theology. It is this radical antithesis that has us also to decide against the decision as well. We are products of the late 20th century, grandchildren of the spectacle society, where all forms of life that would not be subjected to the machine were liquidated long ago. Now, under the grimace of the total corruption of law, the complete looting of the treasuries of all peoples, by political and corporate oligarchies everywhere, from emergencies of their own creation. We find the reason for us to rise against and choose to reclaim that which is only ours. This, the reactivation of the political as the struggle for life and the right to die trying, opens the truly political, polis, once again. We understand how Bitcoin makes for the oddest of paradoxes, with anarchism becoming in theory the greatest form of capitalism against all states, and in practice, a dictatorship of privacy and pseudonymity, which unrelentingly will not give itself to anyone but the individual. Bitcoin rings with a thunderous crack, vires in numeris, and becomes more powerful and fervent with each seeker that we convert. It is a political theology that restores truth as the final weapon against any system of lies, fear, and exploitation, in order to renew the nomos of humanity, and for us all to discover that there is still a political to be claimed, but only for those who are willing to take the risk. The revolutionary truth hidden in Bitcoin. Having witnessed the twilight of humanity befall idiotic and empty slogans under the barbarism of statism's vacant chanting of idiotic lies, the spectacle has enveloped all. In all of its grandeur of stupidity and lobotomization, state capitalism has fused with the totalitarian eye of the internet, idiotically unaware of the beast it was unleashing, the prophecy it was fulfilling. From the very outset, we can see the fundamental contradiction between the idea of sovereignty and the functions of cryptography. Cryptography is completely unanswerable to any sovereign power, as it lacks the capacity to understand anything beyond its binary language of true or false, nor does it capitulate to any form of violence. The only laws that cryptography understands are the laws of mathematics, which animates their functions. By the very nature that no sovereign power can overcome the laws of mathematics that animate cryptographic systems, it points to the very nature of what crypto is and its hidden encrypted meaning. There is no emergency, war, pandemic, or crisis that can stop Bitcoin. Now there is only the real state of emergency to be introduced, and the final struggle in which we take our rightful place as the owner of ourselves, our political systems, and our wealth for those whom we hodl in common. This is the political theology of Bitcoin, the radial promise of a machine of truth that can only speak in a binary of true or false, documenting its own claims of just that. From the outset of the creation of the time chain of Satoshis, Bitcoin has been nothing more than a mechanization of truth-telling of what address owns what Bitcoin, and how many joules of energy were used to produce those Bitcoins. With each block that is built on the Bitcoin time chain, it resounds and echoes louder and louder against the backdrop of man and his fallen world of lies, deception, and deceit. Only in a time where man has become an insipid beast of guile, brutishness, and sophistry, where politicians and gangsters openly fraternize and discuss how to rape the world with no consequence to themselves, does the theology of Bitcoin and the promise it contains move from revolutionary to messianic. There is no longer any government anywhere that can offer the same promise as that of Bitcoin does. There is no central bank, no commodity form, no currency, no crypto outside of Bitcoin that can offer the same assurances or security as Bitcoin. The theological promise of Bitcoin is that there will never be more than 21 million coins. There is no way to alter the supply schedule or know exactly who owns what outputs. Bitcoin is a new social contract based upon the inverted form of the sovereign dictum, with truth, not authority, being the legitimate maker of the law that is Bitcoin's blockchain. In a world where governments across the globe have promised to create infinite monetary units, swore everlasting loyalty to corporations and megalomaniacs before their own citizens, the only thing left to do is refuse their broken social contract they call law, and create new ones better and more fitting for our times. Through the power, glory, and grace that is Bitcoin, and for the magnanimous promise that Satoshi Nakamoto has delivered to us, Bitcoin is the theological answer to the crises of our time. Its heliotropism directs us toward a world where we use cryptographic systems to verify the truth of all things, and utilize such a power to renew and recreate our systems of liberty and justice for all. Satoshi Nakamoto's promise of a money that does not change for the light and transient causes of mortals, nor bend to the callous and pathetic will of politicians around the planet, has given us a light to follow in these darkest of times. It is the oath of the cryptographic machine to itself, and its total intransigence to change for any crisis, emergency, or state of exception. Through this most wonderful and theological of tasks, Satoshi Nakamoto has created the machine of economic redemption that we need to renew our world, to free ourselves from the chains of debt and bondage that governments around the globe have forced onto all of us. It is a method to renew the social contract to its original form, and what the promise of a social contract under the rubric of truth really means. Quote, "Every man having been born free and master of himself, no one else may under any pretext whatever subject him without his consent." Jean-Jacques Rousseau, The Social Contract, 1762. All right, so let's talk about this piece, because there is a lot of amazing stuff in this. And my first couple of runs through this, I had a really hard time trying to make sense of because the decision and the exception, kind of the quote that Carl Schmitt has at the beginning, is they're kind of talked about in absolute terms, like the decision and the exception. I kind of had a hard time following what exactly they meant by the term sovereignty, even though the kind of thesis of the article, of the entire piece, really comes out. And I haven't read but I think one of the preliminary pieces, Crypto Truth and Power, talking about, I think that's the one that talks about, cryptography is a weapon of war. But in the piece that he linked to, in trying to figure out what Carl Schmitt was talking about in sovereignty, there's actually a good little excerpt from Carl Schmitt's political theology that a lot of this is derived from, and kind of what he means and like what's being referred to when we talk about the exception. So I'll read this little section just because I think it sums it up pretty decently. "From a practical or a theoretical perspective, it really does not matter whether an abstract scheme advanced to define sovereignty, namely that sovereignty is the highest power, not a derived power, is acceptable. About an abstract concept, there will in general be no argument, least of all in the history of sovereignty. What is argued about is the concrete application, and that means who decides in a situation of conflict what constitutes the public interest or interest of the state, public safety and order, le salut public, and so on. The exception, which is not codified in the existing legal order, can at best be characterized as a case of extreme peril, a danger to the existence of the state, or the like. But it cannot be circumscribed factually and made to conform to a preformed law. It is precisely the exception that makes relevant the subject of sovereignty, that is, the whole question of sovereignty." So what I take away from that, and this piece in general, is that sovereignty is that when the law breaks down, like no matter what, law is in fact that thing which works when it works, in a sense. There is always the emergency or the war or the special circumstance in which law is actually, like, by its nature, when the law has to be circumvented for these situations, which is historically just always the case. It just always has been. It is that it is them who makes the exception, who has the deciding power as to what is and is not applicable or there to save the state or the quote unquote public in those situations. That deciding power, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of being able to actually detail out what this emergency may look like, because they are all different. There's no way to immediately or exactly know the circumstances and the conditions of the case when that exception comes about. But when that happens, the sovereign is the one that makes the exception, that decides where and why the law does not apply. And this is the amazing thing about what Bitcoin does, what the Bitcoin system and cryptography in general provides, particularly when you can hide value behind a cryptographic system, a cryptographic truth of this true answer, this verification, this signature, or nothing, is that only the owner of the answer, only the owner of that truth has any control. Over there is no exception. They are the ones that decide at the end of the day. Even, and obviously, you know, the dynamics of violence still matter. Like you can still, you know, beat them with a $5 wrench until they give it up. But ultimately, it is the decision of that person. They still must give it up. You can't beat them and the answer just falls out of them. They give it to you. And if that attacker kills the victim, well, then it's gone. If the victim never chooses to give it up, regardless of the circumstance, they are still sovereign in the value that they own in a cryptographic system, in Bitcoin. And what's fascinating about that is that this is, I mean, how many times have you heard the excuse or the concept and the excusing of the violence of the state and all of this, that you only have property rights because the state provides them, because the state protects them for you? Well, in a sense, that's actually true, because the state will come in and take them from you, and there is no sovereignty against them, as the only defense against it is violence. And when you're in the physical world, you either can defend your house from someone confiscating it from you, or you can't. And if they choose to do so, In the system, it is the authority that provides legitimacy. So if they decide they own your house, they just do. That may obviously be an absolute corruption of law, an absolute corruption of ethics and morality, and they may do it for all of the corrupt and selfish and greedy reasons that they do it, but irrelevant, the authority is the legitimacy, and they are given the benefit of the doubt. Like, as a form of kind of mental self-preservation, you have to believe that authority, because you are you're a victim of it, or you're a derivative of it yourself. All of your rights are, to an extent, that we kind of have to believe that it's at least somewhat legitimate, that it can't just all be evil. Because what are we even doing if you know, like, are we all just hiding from it? Otherwise, we can't believe that it's society and that it's some sort of a moral structure with justice. But Bitcoin actually does fundamentally change. It flips that on its head. It's no longer true that the state has anything to do with the ownership that you have. That the value that you keep in the Bitcoin system, it is cryptography. That's it. The state has nothing to do with it. This goes back to Hasu and Suzu's... The promise of independent property rights is that it is not the authority or any authoritative figure that decides who owns what. There is no court that adjudicates a decision as to, you know, which coin is, it belongs to A or B. The court is Bitcoin. The law is the cryptography, and the answer is true or false. There's no middle ground. You know, this shift in what it means to own a thing, what it means to have rights, is not a minor move. Like, this is fundamentally, like, everything about, like, organizing a society flipped on its head. It is not a top-down, it is bottom-up. The individual has the ultimate security, like the ultimate responsibility, not security, like the responsibility to secure, to protect that ownership, and the ultimate authority to decide, because they're the only ones with the information. They're the only one with the key, and there's no other way around it. It is the key or nothing. And the quote that just got me, and we literally just talked about all of this because I thought it was hilarious that a number of people from the Raleigh Bitcoin meetup brought this up, and that's literally the whole discussion we had on Tuesday trying to work this idea out and piece these things together, was that in the legacy world, in the legacy systems of political hierarchy, it is the authority, it is the opinions and the fickle judgments of those in power which decide the truth. They can, like, it's how something is unbelievably mundane and just tiny as the Commerce Clause that could lead to more of government regulation and direct involvement in the economy than anything else, that they could take barely a sentence and turn it into the excuse to make government 100 times the size as it ever was, and they could just ignore it. It is absolutely the opinion of those in power, and if we don't have the right opinions in power, then it's all just air. It's all just meaningless. It is by interpretation that law exists, which means that if you can interpret it by anything, which knowing everything, anything about people or language, you can interpret any damn sentence to mean literally anything you want, and the longer time goes on, the more distorted and stretched it will become, and the more the very words that make up that sentence will change in definition to fit the opinions and the ideas of those in authority. It is simply a matter of time before it is corrupted and used for evil. It is the nature of subjectivity and a system of power. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. It just is. But in that, the expression of that power is the control of resources, is the control of wealth. That is what makes it power to begin with. It is using violence. It is using scaled systemic violence, institutionalized violence, in order to control wealth and resources. And it is that control of wealth and resources that gives that institution the power to use the violence. Police, soldiers, like politicians, none of these people work for free. They work because of the pie, because of the cut that they can get of everyone else's wealth. And to think that that system is no longer, when we move into a Bitcoin world, that system has nothing to do with what you own. That system has nothing to do with your wealth in a Bitcoin space. It does not command it. It does not manipulate it. And it cannot take it from you unless you explicitly give it to them. Bitcoin does not give two shits about the authority of a political system. It cares about the truth of the signature. The yes or no answer as to the math that allows that system to operate. And that is it. That is the revolution hidden in Bitcoin. And that is not to be taken lightly. So this is a really interesting blog. Eric Kaysen, I'm going to be digging into more of this because I want to, for some of the language in this, again, is a little bit confusing. And I didn't actually finish Political Theology by Carl Schmitt. But I wanted to go ahead and just get this episode out since we just talked about this on the Raleigh Bitcoin meetup. So if you want another 2 hours of this conversation, I will direct you there. And I'll be combining the RSS feeds soon so that you can actually follow the Crypto Economy Network and get both of these shows and potentially some new ones that are in the works. So stay tuned on all of that. But if you want to really go down this rabbit hole, literally we went for 2 hours and some change on this, on the Raleigh Bitcoin meetup. And I think it was a really fun discussion. Like I said, I'll be checking out more of Eric's work. And again, this is on cryptosovereignty.org. So if you want to do a little bit of discovery yourself, this could be a really, really fun one. And I personally am very excited to dig a little bit deeper into this. And of course, I will link to the main article. I'll tag Eric in this so that you can follow him on Twitter. And it's just actually Eric Kason, the CASONEIRK, by the way, Eric with a K, on Twitter, so that you can follow him and check out cryptosovereignty.org. I really love the philosophical and like kind of, theological, like the overarching, like grand picture of what is different in a world where the ultimate arbiter of truth is a cryptographic system of yes and no versus one where it is a political system of who decides your fate. And the fact that that is changing, that we've watched this shift, and the internet has provided us with this cyberspace to build this new alternative system. I really think we're in this 50 to 100 year transition to just a world that looks nothing like the old world. And, you know, with those transitions comes stress, comes identity crisis as a society, comes with the breakdown of trust. It comes with, struggles to have to change everything we thought we knew and how we do, how we secure our wealth, how we think of wealth, and everything that we thought we knew really gets upended. And we have to look at the world with fresh eyes. And I think Bitcoin is one of those tools that just facilitates that in such a fascinating way. And it is going to be so important to that future. And it truly is revolutionary in a way that is so hard to articulate and really describe. That ownership is not a consequence. That ownership and rights are not a consequence of a political system anymore, of a top-down hierarchy, that they are bottom-up, that it is truly the individual who has the final say of ownership, because Bitcoin is totally independent of all of our other institutions. And that is a fascinating, fascinating new truth. And there will be nothing left untouched with that. So don't forget to check all of those things out. Don't forget to check out Eric Kason, if I can talk. Links to all this lovely stuff in the show notes. I will close this one out here. Don't forget to check out swanbitcoin.com/guy to start. Again, they auto withdraw to your keys so that you are the sovereign. You are the final decider over the responsibility and the true ownership of your wealth. Start your transition into this new age and do so in a easy, set it and forget it way, that you are just stacking sats and you are preparing for this shift, this transition that we are going through. And I think it's going to be just fascinating. It has been fascinating to be a part of this space. And it is just extraordinary what the consequences and the impact of this technology really could be. So I could not be more excited to be a part of all of this. And I'm glad you guys are taking the ride with me. So thank you so much. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. Until next time, take it easy, guys.